going on? This is Joakim Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Well, good, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. We have the great Tim Gallagher online here to discuss the latest with the beloved Bulls. Tim, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Fred. I had a nice Thanksgiving break, and it was quite a feast week for basketball, especially college basketball. And it's one of the few times of the year where the NBA takes a little bit of a backseat for me, kind of like during the NCAA tournament as well. But I don't know if you saw some of those games from everywhere from Portland to Hawaii to a lot of places. And so some of these prospects the Bulls may have in their sights were playing in some pretty competitive and intense games, but also ready to talk about the NBA too.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. And excited to get caught up and talk a little bit about what's been going on. Why don't we first start out with the beloved Bulls? And, you know, the team lately has been obviously pretty disappointing, and marketing's kind of, I think, taken a little bit of a turn for the worst, not hitting at a great percentage. Obviously not playing as well as he was earlier in the year. What do you think the reason for this is, and what's your take on the team in general right now?
Well, it is disappointing that they have the worst record in the league. There's no other way around that. Although, as we've talked about earlier, my vision and mission for the team was to be competitive in most of the games, and even if they come up short, like the Laker game was a good example of that, right? They blew a big lead, unfortunately. But basically, it was a competitive, winnable game until the last couple of minutes, and then they kind of faded. But they played well enough, and there were enough signs of things in the future that it wasn't a dismal kind of night. There's been a few stinkers, obviously, here and there, where they've just been blown out and never in the game, and those are certainly disappointing and not much good to take out of any of those. Yeah, the game at L.A. against the Lakers was really the first game that I've noticed Markkanen really off. And he seemed like he was getting open looks. He just wasn't hitting the shots. So I think it's kind of a combination of a little bit of the rookie wall, a little bit of teams adjusting to him. But the other thing is just there's not a lot of help around him, especially on the perimeter. So when you don't have other guys consistently making shots, and really other than Valentine, there's not anybody that you can really trust to shoot and make threes. It makes it a little tougher for someone even as good as Markkanen to carry that on their shoulders. So I'm not worried. I've seen enough from him already of his skill set, not just with shooting the ball, but everything else he could bring to the team. So I'm a bit sure that he has in the league, but he has a wall, I would say. What about you?
Yeah, I've been pleasantly. I mean, even though he hasn't shot the bell, he's just in a shooting slump, you know. And this happens, especially for younger players. He's not shooting it well. I think he's had a lot of good shots, just not making them, and that's going to happen, over the course of a few games. I'd say it's about three or four games in a row now where he's had a pretty poor effort, which is somewhat disturbing. But you got to also remember he played a lot this past summer, playing for Finland. He's had a lot of basketball, and he might be hitting a little bit of the proverbial rookie wall. I expect him to bounce back. I know he was sick, too. So just getting used to that, and it kind of coincided with his first extended road trip. That might have had something also to do with it, I believe. I think you'll see him break out in a pretty spectacular fashion very soon. I'd like to get your take, though, on another player, Chris Dunn, who, believe it or not, is shooting 41% from three, which is just a stellar rate. And I make the case that if he continues at that level and he continues to shoot at 41%, we're going to have an all-star in our hands. Absolutely, because he can take it to the rim, plays excellent defense. I love this kid, and I'm pretty excited about what I'm seeing lately. What's your take on Chris Dunn?
Right. Well, he's finally showing some signs and things we were all hoping for, I think, when the Bulls made the trade with Jimmy. And I'm very excited to get LaVine back as well, because I think that's going to also open things up for everyone else. So my biggest concern with Dunn is just consistency, and that's consistency overall. Obviously, you can compete and defend every night, even if your shot is off and So I'm still a little skeptical that he's going to be able to shoot the ball consistently to be the kind of point guard of the future that we want for the Bulls. But there are some signs of life here. And I think the team overall, in this little struggle that Markkanen has had and some of the others, I know it's very minimal, but if rather than just three wins, if they could have won maybe two or three more of those wins, just you know, here and there to kind of keep their confidence up, I think no matter how positive the coaching staff is and realizing it's a young team and all the things they're doing with those dynamics to kind of keep everybody going, the losing is three or four games, or you know, an upset of a higher, much higher seeded team, something just to give them a little wind in their sails, I think would make a big difference. And they haven't had one of those for a while. And I think that'll help turn things around as well, just in terms of overall confidence and getting these guys to play even a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope. Basketball is an interesting sport, and that just one addition, one player is enough to cause a tremendous difference in the quality of the performance of the team. And, you know, you've seen that time and time again with guys, you know, with superstars. Levine's not a superstar yet, but he's a very good player. And just adding a consistent guy who can shoot, who can drive, who has incredible athletic ability, has the ability to be a good defender, although he hasn't really shown it yet, I think will make a tremendous difference in just, especially in the position he plays, too. You know, he's basically, he can play the 1, 2, or 3, and I think that makes all the difference in the world in on the defensive end and being able to switch off of guys. Another guy, too, that, you know, has been missing that we you know, a lot of people haven't mentioned, but was playing really well for us was David Nwaba. And, you know, hopefully he'll get back soon. I've been really disappointed that he hasn't gotten back earlier. I think he's missed 12 games now. And so a little disappointed in that this injury seems to be lingering. But hopefully he'll be back soon.
Right, and they're going to need his competitiveness. We've talked about that on previous podcasts and what he brings to the table. Just as a hungry player, very active and aggressive player, and one of those guys that has kind of had to fight the long way to get to the league. And so even on a team that's not winning a lot of games, you know that he's going to give it his all every night, and that's going to rub off on the other players. So we saw some signs of it when he was healthy and playing, and I saw some signs of it even when he was with the Lakers and occasionally in G League games, then known as the D League, of what kind of competitiveness and hustle that he brings. So, yes, that'll help as well, and I guess we'll see what Nico has to offer when he comes back too.
Yeah. Exactly, and he should be back soon also. We're about with the quarter point of the season, so I'd love to get your MVP for the Bulls so far, your most improved rookie of the year and biggest disappointment so far. Why don't we start out with your MVP for the Bulls?
Well, so far for this season, and we're about a quarter of the way in, you know, just under 20 games for the Bulls, is my MVP is Robin Lopez. I think he's been stellar in terms of just consistency, being a great role model for the young players, putting up very solid numbers. And you know, I thought he was a very underrated player as part of the Bull playoff team last year. And now having basically none of those guys around him in the starting lineup that he had last year, he's still playing, I think, very consistently. And we talked on a previous podcast as well about his influence on Markkanen and just how to be a pro. And plus, he's delivering with performance on the court. So I'm going to give it to Robin Lopez at this point in the season.
Great. I'll take my MVP. I'm going to give it to Lauri Markkanen. To me, he's the most dynamic, exciting player that we have. He's second on team in minutes at 30 minutes a game. Not a lot of guys are playing that much. And I just think, you know, without him, this would be a really disappointing, dull watch, right? But at least we got this young kid who can hit the three. On the offensive end, he really has so many great qualities. And I think he's been a lot better in every facet of the game, even defensively. Rebounding, he's been excellent. He's my MVP. And I'm really excited to see what this 20-year-old is going to look like in four years. I think he's got all-star ability, and the sky's the limit for Lauri Markkanen. And let's hope he keeps on the upward trends.
Right. Well, I think he will, and it's hard to argue with him as the most valuable as well. And obviously, he's ESB rookie for the Bulls, and certainly one of the top rookies in the league. So, He's the obvious choice for top rookie for the Bulls. That's a no-brainer. And then for most improved player, I've got Denzel Valentine. I'm really seeing some signs from him in terms of shooting the three ball, the way he handles the ball and passes the ball. Still needs to work on his decision-making and consistency, but he's showing things that I see him as a starting player on a team in the league for a long time.
No, I agree, too, and he's mine, too. I mean, shooting 42%, he's in the top 35 in the NBA in three-point percentage. To me, that's by far the most important aspect of his game. If he can continue to hit at a 42% rate, we've got a rotation player. And this game today in the NBA, you got to be able to hit threes. And if he can do that, I'm ecstatic, because we have definitely a rotation player. I'm not sure if he's a starter, but he's definitely going to be contributor to hopefully a playoff team down the road. You know, his limitations athletically are there, definitely, but I think they're far overstated. He's got length. He's incredible vision, great ball handler, great passer. He's our best post passer to me as far as entry passes to the post. I think this team, that's a skill. It's in so many guys in this team are severely lacking in terms of getting the ball to Lopez or Markkanen in the post, and he's one guy there's no hesitancy. Ball gets immediately in there. It's always a good pass to the post. So I love what he brings to the table here. And I think when you start getting some really talented players around him, he's going to be a great role player. How about your, let's see, what's the next one let's talk about? Let's talk about
just the biggest disappointment for the Bulls, which, you know, there could be a few on that list. And I put it as Nico Mirotic, just because he hasn't contributed anything. In fact, it's been a negative contribution in terms of, I know he wasn't alone in it, obviously, with the altercation with Portis, but just that we've gotten nothing out of Nico, and even beyond nothing, there's been some disruption just in terms of, you know, how is he going to get along with the rest of the team? How is he going to integrate with Portis? And so I had much higher aspirations when they re-signed him to be a contributing player, maybe a starter, worst case, a rotation guy, certainly. I mean, he's been that on through most of his career. So the fact that there's just been nothing from him due to various reasons, but you know, there's nobody else on the top of my disappointment list beyond him.
Okay, sounds great. And what about in the – let's talk about a little bit in the East and the West. Why don't we get a little bit broader in the NBA talk. Who's your MVP so far this season in the first quarter?
Well, for the Eastern Conference, I've got it split out in the Eastern Conference and then in the Western Conference. So in the East, I'm going to give the MVP to Kyrie Irving. Obviously, anytime you pick over LeBron, you could have a good argument and make a good case for LeBron. But I'm going to give it to Kyrie just because of the incredible start that the Celtics have gotten off to, and his leadership and just all the things he brings to the team. So Kyrie's my MVP in the East. As far as the most improved player in the Eastern Conference, I've got Victor Oladipo with the Pacers. And I don't think he's had a poor career leading up to now, but I think he's been picked apart a little bit in terms of what he did in Orlando on some bad teams, and then his brief time at OKC. But to me, he looks very comfortable and confident, almost like a Dwayne Wade level kind of a player on the rise. My second most improved player I have is Tobias Harris from the Pistons, mm-hmm. who's been a key guy in their improvement as a team, and we'll get to team level qualifications on some of these accolades also. So Oladipo followed closely by Tobias Harris, and then in the East, my rookie of the year is Ben Simmons, who's really kind of blown me away about how good he's has played and his versatility. I think his shot needs a lot of work, but everything else that he brings to the table is beyond even what I expected this early in his career.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I still, my MVP is LeBron. I mean, I think you take him off Cleveland, they're not even a playoff team. And they're turning it on again all because of him. And he's going to be my MVP as long as he keeps on playing at a stellar level. Going out west, Harden's the MVP to me. I mean, the level that guy's playing with is absolutely insane. And I think now that team could potentially be a legit threat to Golden State, who just continues to play with a laziness I don't understand. And, you know, I do want to mention this now that we're on the West a little bit. How shocked are you about the Thunder? I mean, they're 8-12. Every time I look at the score, their scores, I'm just shocked that this team hasn't improved and gotten better. And they're losing to bad teams. They lost to Orlando yesterday, gave up 40 points. You know, what is going on with that team?
Well, there's definitely some chemistry issues adjusting to the big three that they have, obviously, with Westbrook, Carmelo, and Paul George. And they had a few rough spots very early in the season that I thought that they would work through, but it's taking a lot longer than I expected. And the fact that the West is relatively weak beyond the top two or three teams, you know, they still have a shot at it. Obviously, the Clippers are going to fade now that Blake Griffin's out. And then, you know, again, beyond the Rockets, Warriors, and Spurs, I think it's pretty wide open. So I'm still pretty confident the Thunder is going to figure things out and make their move. But their record's definitely flipped from the minimum where I thought it would be. They're 8-12, and you know, I would have thought they'd be at least 12-8 or better at this point, even with integrating new guys into the system. Although I guess if you go back to the early days when Miami put their super team together, they struggled a little bit as well. I don't think the talent on the OKC team is at quite at that level. I mean, you don't have LeBron and you know, Chris Bosh and Wade quite that level of talent, but close. So I still haven't given up on the Thunder, even though they've had some clunkers thus far. And I still think Sam Presti and Billy Donovan are pretty competent in terms of front office and head coaching skills. So I'm not ready to give up on them yet, but definitely a major disappointment. I have them as my biggest disappointment as far as a team in the West.
Gotcha. So right now, do you feel they're going to make the playoffs? I mean, they're in danger right now. They're a 10 seed, I think. I mean, do you think they're going to get in there? And if so, who's going to fall out?
I think they will get in there. I think they're going to end up at worst probably a 6 seed. So I think they will turn it around. And I'm not sure how things are going to shake out with those last few playoff spots. Obviously, in the West, you've got the Rockets, Warriors, and Spurs are going to be in those top three spots pretty much no matter what. Portland looks like they're pretty solid and on the rise. The Timberwolves are playing better now. I was wondering, you know, how that all was going to come together. As far as Denver, New Orleans, Utah, I don't see those as better teams than the Thunder. They are right now, but I think over the course of the season, I think that'll shift a little bit. So I see the Thunder as a 6 seed.
Sounds good.
Maybe I'm a little more confident than you. And then as far as in the West, obviously the best team, you've got the Rockets. I'm going to still give it to the Warriors. It's kind of like LeBron. I probably should give it to them unless they get unseated. But the Rockets have been impressive, especially when Chris Paul missed that large chunk of games.
Yes.
And then the most improved teams I have are Portland and then right behind them, Minnesota.
What is your biggest disappointment in the East?
Well, in the West, it is the Thunder. The biggest disappointment I have in the East are the Wizards. They're, you know, hovering right around 500. You know, they made a pretty deep run in the playoffs last year, got to the Eastern Conference semifinals, gave Boston a little bit of run for their money. I thought the Wall and Beal combination would build on that. But from what I've seen of them this year, their supporting cast really hasn't improved, and both the players they've had in their system, you know, I'm thinking of people like Gortat or Kelly Oubre, or you know, just haven't seen the next level of improvement out of those guys, and really they haven't made acquisitions to really strengthen their roster. So that's a lot on the shoulders of Wall and Beal, and I just don't see them carrying the load like I thought they would. So I think we'll make the playoffs, and they are still a good team, but I thought they'd be much better than 11 and 10 at this point.
Yeah, let's
and then my most improved team in the East are the Pistons, and I didn't really see this coming, and I think the improvement of Tobias Harris, who we just talked about, is one of the more improved players in the league, and he kind of reminds me of a young Carmelo in some ways with the skill set that he has. I think the acquisition of Avery Bradley was a key as well, and it may be a little bit of addition by subtraction with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope being, you know, not signed, and he's with the Lakers now, so I'm seeing him play a little more often, and he's just an okay player. Avery Bradley definitely a step up, and the fact that Bradley has been part of that Boston culture over the last few years is, I think, not only what he does on the floor, but in the locker room in terms of just being a pro and bringing the attributes that the Celtics have seemed to have put into quite a winning system there is really rubbing off with Detroit.
Well, he's an unrestricted free agent next year, and he's one guy I'd love to see the Bulls target. I don't think you can't have enough of those guys, and he could fit seamlessly in the two and the three, and you know, just give you a lot of good defense, and he's a winner. I like Avery Bradley a lot. Some additional questions for you. I wanted to talk about some other topics before we wrap it up is Derrick Rose, and you know, Derrick Rose, obviously a controversial figure for whatever reason. Chicago now, I always felt like he was kind of unfairly criticized for the most part. I mean, he obviously did some missteps, and now he may be retiring. And to think about where this kid was, you know, just 7 years ago to where he is now is just heartbreaking to me. And it just shows how quickly things can change. He's talking about retirement. I think that'd be a mistake for him. I think as long as you can play this game and play it at this level, you should try to give it your best and go for it. And I think one day when he gets older, he's going to regret two things. Number one, retiring right now. I think he'll regret that one day down the road when he's older. And I think he's also going to regret not playing that entire season when he had an opportunity to come back in the playoffs. He'll never get those back. And, you know, that was probably one of the last legit opportunities he had to play in the finals, right, to make the miracle and beat the Heat that year. But he didn't come back. Love to get your 411 or your opinion on what's on Derrick Rose and what you think about the situation.
Right. Well, only he knows, you know, how his body really feels. And, you know, obviously his skills have deteriorated just because of the injuries that he's had. And, you know, any casual fan could see that. I guess it just makes me wonder how much he really loves the game and loves to compete and loves to be out there. You know, you mentioned his choice not to come back in the playoffs, and maybe that wasn't solely his choice. I don't remember all the details of that at the time, if the Bulls management thought, you know, let's just err on the side of caution and we'll bring him back next season. But, you know, boy, if you really love to compete, you're on a very, very good team that has a chance to go very deep in the playoffs, do you really pass up that chance? And obviously we're looking back now with 2020 vision, but you wonder what might have happened had he activated and played. So, I've seen him on a pretty steep decline. Even last year, I know he got a pretty solid number of games in with the Knicks, but again, it was a losing team, and you know, I didn't really see much of him. And you know, in retrospect, too, the Bulls, you know, being able to move him and getting some pretty decent assets for him was, you know, that trade's looking better and better every day, obviously. And plus, playing with Tibbs, as we've talked about, is not easy. Even though he's got a history with Rose and they've, you know, had a lot of success together, he is one of the more demanding coaches. So if you're a player that's, you know, having some physical issues and maybe mentally you're not as locked in as you once were, and your love of the game is sliding a little bit, that's not a good mix if you're looking to be an NBA player.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. It's just such a tough situation, but I wish him all the best. You know, I never like to see a career end prematurely, but obviously I think that's where we're headed with Derrick Rose. And I agree with you completely about the trade. I mean, the Bulls made out as about as well as you can possibly do with Robin Lopez, who's been a rock for us, you know, and I think still has value. And I believe this. I don't know if you agree with me, but I think if there's a contending team that loses a center or front court player between now and the trade deadline, I think you could probably elicit late first rounder for him. Do you agree with that?
I do. Sure. I mean, he's a very valuable player. He's an established pro. You know what you're going to get from him. He doesn't need the ball. He's a competent scorer. You know, what's he averaging this year? About 12 a game. So, you know, he can get baskets if needed, but as far as rebounding, setting screens, just overall energy and hustle throughout a game is, yeah, who wouldn't want to have a guy like that in the middle? And he gets up and down the floor pretty well. I wouldn't say he's fast, but, you know, he's pretty mobile for a guy his size. So, yes, I think that would be something the Bulls would have to look at closely if there is someone looking to enhance their roster late in the season. Yep. One other quick point in the West, we didn't really talk about most improved player in the West, so I wanted to drop a name on you, and it's kind of an odd one because he's been in the league a long time and he's been an all-star, but the most improved player I've seen in the West is LaMarcus Aldridge. And the reason I put that out there is because Kawhi Leonard hasn't played a minute yet this season, who's, you know, a top five player in the league, and we all know how great Kawhi is and what he means to the Spurs, so they've not had him at all. And then Aldridge had kind of fallen out of favor a little bit, or at least that's what the press said in San Antonio, and it almost looked like, you know, he may not even be back in San Antonio. So for the Spurs to be 7 games over .500, you know, 21 games into the season, I really think LaMarcus Aldridge has carried a lot of that load, because you look at the rest of the Spurs roster and it's either guys past their prime or have been injured, or, you know, kind of the magic that they're able to do to get mileage out of guys like Danny Green and Patty Mills that have them, you know, right on the heels of the two elite teams in the West.
Yeah, agree. That's a great call, because he has been great, and it's amazing that they're still competing without a player of Leonard's caliber. So great stuff there. Hey, let's go to a draft real quick, because in this past week it seems, as you stated in a conversation with me earlier in a text, we're going back and forth, that Bagley III has clearly jumped ahead in the lottery here. I'd like to get your opinion on who he's played lately. But another name I keep on hearing a lot of lately is this Trae Young from Oklahoma. Could you give us a 4-1-1 on Young? And more importantly, what do you think of Bagley's jump to the top of the list?
Right. Well, part of Bagley's jump has, and he certainly earned it through his play. You know, and he looks good. I had compared him a little earlier to Chris Bosh, which I see that. But the more I watch him, I also am starting to see some of David Robinson. So some of our listeners that maybe are a little older and watched him in his prime with the Spurs and even back at the Naval Academy, you know, a left-handed, long, athletic guy, very similar to Bagley. I think Bagley's more skilled offensively than David Robinson was, certainly at this stage of his career. So I think he's clearly the number one overall pick. Sadly, Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri, who's my favorite in this draft, has got a back injury and going to miss the whole season, which is very disappointing. And I guess the jury's out on how soon he'll be able to start working out again and what that means in terms of his short-term future. As far as Trae Young, yes, he's put up some 40-point games already for Oklahoma as a freshman. He and another a guard, Colin Sexton from Alabama, we talked about him a little bit on the previous podcast. I meant to mention that I said he was from Alabama. He's actually from Georgia, but he's going to school at Alabama and playing for Avery Johnson. So I had his home state wrong, so I wanted to correct that to the listeners. But obviously from the southeastern part of the U.S. But he and Trae Young both are putting up some pretty impressive numbers for freshmen. And I don't know if you saw when Alabama played Minnesota, and they were playing 3-on-5.
Yes, yeah.
With Sexton, and they almost won. So
yeah. Amazing stuff.
That in itself is, you know, kind of like an urban legend type of story for Sexton. So, yes, he looks very dynamic, and obviously the Bulls need some backcourt help. And you know, hopefully Dunn will keep improving, and he'll be, you know, be the kind of floor general that we'd be happy with long term, but you got to look at some of these guards as well. A couple other names that we talked about: Miles Bridges obviously is still looking good for Michigan State, and his teammate Jaren Jackson. So those are both ones to watch, and I think their stock is staying high. Mo Bamba from Texas, seen him play a few times now on television, and he's a little more raw offensively than I thought, and so
A little too skinny.
He's flipped a little bit. Yeah, he's a little thin and just doesn't seem to have the court presence. I mean, you flip Duke on and Marvin Bagley jumps off the screen when he's in the game, right? You don't have any trouble picking him out. And watching Texas, and they had some very intense games against Duke and against Gonzaga, very good competition, obviously, but just his presence and impact on the game, I thought, was not what I would have expected for a potential top five pick. DeAndre Ayton is putting up big numbers at Arizona, but they've already got three losses. I didn't think they'd have three losses till maybe middle of their conference schedule. So I'm not sure what's going on there from a chemistry standpoint, but Ayton still looks like a very, very high prospect. Reminds me some of maybe Miles Turner, who's on the Pacers and doing quite well. So he's another one to watch.
So what? Right now, my only concern with Miles is, Marvin Bagley, excuse me, the third is, I watched a game yesterday against Indiana, a very impressive game. But I try to say, all right, what moves that we're seeing here are going to be negated by superior NBA talent, especially in the post? And his game is so low post-centric, and it seems like the NBA is trending a lot more away from that and a lot more perimeter-centric to have big guys be able to score from the perimeter, and I haven't seen enough of that, right? So that's my only reservation about him. I don't think he's dynamic or, at the three-point line or I haven't seen enough in his perimeter game to say he's clearly number one. And I do feel like what he's doing now, dominating in the post, will be much more difficult when he gets to the NBA.
Right. Well, I agree with you, and that's why Michael Porter Jr. has always been my favorite in this draft, because I think he can play almost all five positions. Obviously, his health now is a little bit of a red flag, so we'll see what happens there. But, right, in today's NBA where you've got multi-position players, but last night watching the Warriors against the Lakers, I noticed the Lakers on defense really were just switching everything.
Yeah.
I always kind of zero in on Lonzo Ball and how he's defending, who he's guarding, and their game plan is just to switch everything, and that the league seems to be trending that way, as well as all five guys being able to shoot the ball and spread the floor. So, yeah, I would still be very happy if Bagley was there and the Bulls had the number one pick. We'd figure out a way to use him, right? So I'm not worried about it. But yes, I think it is a valid discussion to see about how his game would translate in terms of shooting from the perimeter and maybe handling the ball a little bit in the open floor and things that that he'll be asked to do the way the game's played now.
Yeah, I heard a great interview with Steve Kerr. I highly recommend it, with Bill Simmons. It's out. And he was talking about the Celtics and their drafting of Brown and some of the other draft picks that they've made. And Steve just brought up the point that the NBA's kind of, I see what they're doing. The NBA's kind of trending towards a bunch of 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", guys that can, just on defense seamlessly switch and negate a lot of the pick-and-roll movements of many of the offenses. And really interesting interview. I highly recommend people to check out. And I hope that's what the Bulls are doing. I think that's what hopefully marketing could be, is a bigger version of a 6. If you can get a lot of guys that can hit the three who are athletic and are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", that's what the next, phase will be. But, it's hard to find guys that athletic and ability to hit the outside jumpers like marketing. So let's hope we continue acquiring talent and head in the right direction. Looking forward to the game tonight.
Right. Well, with Jason Tatum at Boston, yep. So he's another one like Jaylen Brown. I see Michael Porter Jr. as a Jason Tatum-like player, maybe even a little more skilled than that. Again, asterisk if he's healthy. So that's why I've been so high on Porter all along. Is what you're seeing Jason Tatum do right out of the gate, I see Porter being able to do that and more.
Amen. Amen. Well, big game tonight at the UC against Denver, who's 11-9. I think the Bulls could absolutely win this game. I guess that's not a great thing. I kind of want to see the Bulls lose as many games as possible until LaVine comes back and then really make a nice run. Maybe build a little cushion and finish the year strong. So that you're still getting a high pick, but look really solid in the second half of the season. I think that'd probably be the best case scenario for the beloved. What do you think?
Right. Well, yeah, like I mentioned, I'd like to see a win here and there. You know, the road game they lost at Phoenix, the road game at L.A., those are both games I thought were very winnable for the Bulls. Mm-hmm. You know, they came up a little bit short, but again, I'm fine with being in that very lower tier of wins for draft lottery purposes, but let's get a few wins here and there just to keep the guys that are out on the floor now a little more positive and motivated and kind of reward their hard work, because they have been competing and playing hard. Again, other than a couple of dogs where, you know, they were pretty much out of the game very early on, most of the games I really like the competitiveness. And again, you mentioned Nwaba. I think when he gets back, and then Levine, who not only has shown that he can play it, you know, success at the NBA level, but also I think will add a little flair and excitement to the Bulls lineup as well.
Sounds good. All right, I got to hit the ground running here, Tim, but thank you so much for joining the Bullseye. It's always great to have you back on.
Thanks, Fred. Always good talking to you as well. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks again. Have a good one, bud.